You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You are now listening to the Ride or Cross podcast.
All right. Cool. Hey, cool. Guys, what's up? I haven't done podcasts in a long time. This is TJ. I know Morgan and Babs have been doing a lot of the podcasts on their own. Today we have a very special guest, friend of mine, Susie Shin. We've been friends for a long time. We took a 4-year break from being friends.
Quick falling out.
Yeah.
Quick break.
But now we are friends again. And, you know, we've been hanging out and catching up on everything that has kind of happened in our own lives over the past 4 years. And, thought we would just record it and talk more about, like, some of the professional stuff that's happened over the past 4 or 5 years. Because I don't really know. I don't even know what you've been doing. I just know you've been working with some cool artists and, like, you've done some really cool shit. So let's get into it.
Let's get into it. But first, I got you a birthday present with our friend Phil Woods. It's sent via text message in your phone.
Oh,
if you want to open it. The audio is important.
Okay, here we go.
TJ Petraka, why does that name sound so disturbingly familiar? Maybe it's because your screen name is TJ, your DJ 69?
Suspicious, very pressure. That's amazing.
It's great, right?
So they got me a cameo from the world famous Chris Hansen from Dateline NBC's To Catch a Predator. That's awesome. Thank you guys so much.
No problem.
That is
He really
so
went
funny.
In.
He really went for it.
TJ, your DJ, 69.
Dude, he's not cheap either. I was just on that app. People charge a crazy amount of money for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So thank you.
That's fine. Happy birthday. Cameo is crazy, but it works.
Yeah, I was on there trying to shop for a way to ask Morgan to be a groomsman in my wedding.
You should have Chris Hansen do it.
Well, I really wanted to have Meadow Soprano do it. Okay. You ever watch The Sopranos?
No.
Jamie Lynn Sigler.
Does she do it?
She does it, but it costs like $120 or something. $180.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I saw Pauly Shore said $250, and yeah. I was like, in your dreams, Pauly Shore.
That's crazy. He might listen to this, so.
Hey.
I'm not.
Delete that.
It's okay. Now everybody knows they can go get a cameo from him, so that's cool.
I thought about it. I almost did it.
Thank you for not doing that. I got enough Pauly Shore in my life. So.
What's going on?
Suze. We can always edit this too if there's stuff that you say and you think back later and you're like, oh, I don't want to, or I can't talk about that yet or anything okay. like that. So, just let me know.
Okay.
So you are currently working on the new Weezer record. What do you do first off for everybody?
I produce and I write songs and I engineer and I just kind of help bands and artists make music. In whatever okay. way or capacity that I can.
Cool. So what are some of the things that you've worked on over the past
four years? I worked on Panic at the Disco, like engineering or singing or doing additional production on it, sample replacing, and then Weezer and Fall Out Boy and I don't know, a bunch of Dua Lipa, like random all over the place.
Cool.
Things.
You did background vocals on what tracks?
Oh my god, all of them.
Really?
No, on a bunch of them. Yeah. Cause it's just like, you know, we're working on it. We need to sing on it. It's like, yeah. Whoever's in the room, start singing cool. very much. And you know, Brendan's the best. So is Jake. And it's just a big, we're hanging out all the time. Yeah. It's just like, we're friends.
Who's Jake?
Jake Sinclair. That's who I engineer for a bunch. And he's the best. I think you met him like maybe like 4 years ago. I first started working with him.
Yeah, I like know of him.
He's really cool.
Okay.
So yeah, we would go to Brendan's or be at Jake's, and it's just like we would just be hanging out. Sometimes we wouldn't even work at all. Like we would just be watching YouTube videos for like 5 hours and getting really high, and then playing with the dogs, and then like leaving.
Wait, is Jake the one that lives at my old house?
Not anymore.
Okay.
He moved out after like less than a year, probably.
Did you guys record anything at my house, my old house?
No.
No.
So that's what I do mainly.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you've been working mostly with Jake on things. He's like a producer.
Yeah, Jake produces, writes, engineers. He came up under Butch Walker, who's another producer, writer guy. And he's the best. Yeah, so we work on a ton of stuff together. And then outside of that, like we're doing, or outside of that, I do other albums too, or other work too. Like when we're not working on an album, or when we're not doing something, I'll be like, oh, cool. So like Van Weezer is like something that I'm producing on my own, with the band. And it's just like slowly, like, you know, growing or like building up to be better and keep learning.
Cool. How did you, you know, sort of like, I feel like you've gotten like closer to the Weezer guys. How's that relationship like developed, and how did it start?
It started
like, cause you're full on producing that one, right?
Yeah.
And like everything with them.
Yeah. So I'm like super close with Rivers. He's the best. He's the best human. And the rest of the guys in the band are awesome. Brian, Scott, and Pat. They're so funny and just such characters. It's like, it's a band.
Yeah.
Which is so rare. It's usually you're like hired musicians or a single artist. Like that is like a full on rock band with the dynamics, with the personalities. It's great. And they've stuck it out for decades too. I first met Rivers through Jake, because Jake was producing the White Album and they were kind of getting into writing, and Rivers would come like hang out for like experiences and like to meet like young people and to like be like, what's the world like? And he would come out with us. So we like took him caroling. I went to an escape room with him. Like he came to like shows with us or like a birthday party. And yeah, at first I was like, oh, this guy for sure does not like me. Like I would just say something and he would turn away or like what? Or like be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotta go. And now it's like, we have like this relationship where it's just like we're very productive and like it's pushing each other to be better. Or, like, what do you not? Like, it's very cool now. And I feel like I can like give him any direction or just like experiment with what the sound is or trying this idea or, you know, whatnot.
Fun. I saw that you were at the show with Fall Out Boy and Green Day and Weezer. At the Roxy?
No.
The whiskey.
Yeah, that's gonna be a crazy tour.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Really?
Yeah, it was so cool.
Yeah, Ricky from our office went. He said it was great.
It was so small. It was so crazy to see like all three of those bands with like no other openers, and it was just like Green Day was there like 40 feet in front of me. It was wild.
That's so crazy.
It's gonna be a sick tour.
Yeah, I saw Blink at the Roxy a couple of years ago when they like first came back and had Matt Skiba, and Mark like put us on his like family guest list. It was so fucking surreal to be like right there, like 2 feet away.
That's insane. I am in love with Blink-182.
The new album was pretty cool. We were just listening to it in the office.
The new one?
Yeah.
That's rad.
9.
What's your favorite song?
The 45-second one. It's really good. I don't know.
That's funny.
Yeah. Did you do The Greatest Showman? Where did you work on that one?
I worked on that one. Why do you know that?
Well, we just did this carnival-themed emo night.
Uh-huh.
And so Babs Morgan and myself all dressed up as ringmasters. And we came out on stage to The Greatest Showman by Panic at the Disco.
That's That's hilarious. Yeah. I engineered that, and I think I'm singing on it. Singing I don't know. It?
I heard some female vocals. I was like, I bet that's Susie.
That's me. That's so funny. That's an awesome song.
Are you biased? Do you think that that version's better than Hugh
I mean,
Jack?
Yeah, I am very biased.
We were having like a serious debate about it in the office.
Who said that Hugh Jackman's version was the better one?
Maybe me.
What?
But then we listened to them. I don't know. I was like going back and forth. You know, I never knew what The Greatest Showman was. I knew it was like pretty. Actually, I'd never heard of it. And then we were on tour and we were in Chicago and I really wanted to go to SoulCycle before the show. And the only class I could go to that like worked with our schedule was The Greatest Showman themed.
That is an actual SoulCycle class?
Yeah. It was in Chicago.
And you went?
And I had never heard any of the songs. I'd never seen the movie, anything. I'd never even heard of it. And I, like, watched the movie on
the
bus.
They had the movie out.
I watched the movie on the bus on my phone before the class. I watched, I got, like, halfway through. Because the movie, I didn't
Why? Really you love. Wanted to be ready for the SoulCycle?
Yeah, I was like, what is this? Like, what is it even going to be? And then I went, and it was an amazing experience. The instructor, like, wore the...
The ringmaster?
Yeah, the ringmaster outfit. And he, like, kept it on for the majority of the class.
Well, yeah, if he's making a class called The Greatest Showman.
That shit's like, Halloween costumes are never comfortable. Like,
no.
You know it's not breathable.
Never. But still, he made a commitment.
I made it, like, two songs the other night on Friday wearing my Greatest Showman outfit.
And you took it off?
And I was like, gotta go.
You have to commit.
Yeah. The funniest part was that it was just, like, a bib. The shirt and the tie and the vest were just a bib.
Where did you get it from? Did you make your own bib?
I got it on Amazon. Yeah.
That's funny.
I'm not good at crafts. I'm, like, the worst at crafts.
That's okay.
Are you good at crafts? I feel like you're good at crafts.
No. I feel like I can carve a pumpkin. If I work, like, hours on it, I can get a good face out of a pumpkin, and that's about the extent
like
of my
Like a classic
crafting.
Face or, like, a...
Maybe, like, a classic face with, like, a scary tooth.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, for example, I tried to crop these pants.
No.
But just, like, cutting was just, like, all jagged and shit. I, like, can't even do that.
No,
just,
I can't like, cut a shirt. I refuse to cut a shirt. No. I'll take it to the...
Yeah, the
place.
Croppery.
Yeah, the croppery. Can you crop this tea?
I don't know. We've talked so much about, like, your personal life over the past few years. You know, been getting all caught up there.
Caught up in the personal world.
I feel
yeah.
like... Okay, so you moved out to LA right after... Like, while we were at Berkeley, you didn't even finish. You were like, I'm done with this place. I'm going to go to LA. And you started working, like, almost right away. You were out here before me.
I came to LA over summer because I had a summer internship mm-hmm. at a recording at this
and you just stayed recording. Right
yeah and I never even went and got my stuff
yeah which you I'm left still, your like, glass lizards
they're frogs oh, yeah. and they're bronze
so you left all your furniture all your stuff at in Boston
yeah
your apartment
I wonder where everything is
I don't know ask Paul
doesn't know Paul knows where the frogs are. That's it. But yeah, and then after the summer was over, they were like, why are you going to go back to college? Why don't you just drop out and stay here? And I was like, yeah, cool. Like, let's live the dream. And it was terrible. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say this, but sure. There was a band that I worked with. It was like my first like paid gig and it was 3 months long, 6-7 days a week, like 12-15 hours a day, and I got paid $1,000
total
for
the whole time.
Total,
dude. What?
And I was like, oh my god, the music industry is so crazy.
Did you get points at least?
No. Oh my god. I was cleaning toilets, and like recording vocals and just whatever.
Yeah, you gotta pay your dues, right?
I guess. Do you have to though?
I think. I don't know. I mean, I did, and I get really upset when people don't. Understand that's part of it because like I'm like I fucking went through that I earned this
yeah
you know
yeah
suck it up
I remember when you worked in like Santa Monica
yeah
and stuff that was crazy mm-hmm. I was yeah so I was probably at the studio for like a year or so I was also working. I got a job at a strip club. And mm-hmm. I was a server there. I was not getting naked or, like, stripping or any
There's
of the
no
weird
shame
stuff.
In that.
There's no shame in it at all. But, like, every time I say that, they're like, oh. And, like, I see, like, people, like, look at me differently. And I'm like, calm down, guy.
There's yeah. nothing wrong with that. If that's what you do and that's how you make your living, nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing at all. I support it.
But you were just serving cocktails.
I was serving Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah, because they can't do alcohol.
Yeah,
because right?
they got fully nude.
Yeah.
That was a shitty time of my life. And then eventually I met Evan Taubenfeld, who became my publisher, and he was working in the studio with a band for a few days. And then, like, eventually it led to, yeah, I signed a publishing deal. And then all of a sudden, the studio that I was at wanted nothing to do with me. They were like, no, we're good. We don't need... Stop coming in.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for our average listener, what's a publishing deal?
For our average listener, a publishing deal is where a publishing company represents your songs and tries to, like, take the songs that you write in your own time or with other people and get them cut with an artist.
Right.
On a label.
When you're so she's talking about songs themselves, not the actual recordings.
Not the actual recording.
These are songs that you write.
Yes.
And it's just, like, the writing portion of the song before it's ever tracked with an artist or anything like that. Basically, I don't know if, like, most people understand that, you know, music or songs that you hear on the radio are broken down into two sort of worlds. There's, like, the master and the publishing. And the master is, like, the actual recording of the song that you're hearing. That's, like, the artist performing it. You know, they recorded it during this one session, and that's the master. And oftentimes, like, a label will own that recording, that master. There's a whole another branch that's, like, the publishing side. That's just, like, the actual song itself. And, you know, that can be recorded by that artist. People can cover that song. You just have to pay a royalty. But basically, there's, like, two branches within a song, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, if anyone is considering going to music college, you don't need to.
Yeah, that's
you
it.
Just
that's
learned everything.
So that's why, you know, I think maybe people will know this year, Taylor Swift was super bummed because Scooter Braun acquired the record label that owned all of the masters for her old recordings.
Mm-hmm.
So... you know, she technically still has publishing on the songs that she has writing credits on. And even if she doesn't, she still has every right to go back and record new versions of those songs. So then she'll own the new masters. And artists have been doing this all the time for a long time. It's super weird when you realize it. Like, sometimes, you know, greatest hits records will come out and artists will, like,
have re-recorded
re-record them. A song, re-record a track. And you don't realize.
No, you can, like, never really hear a difference. Yeah. I support her. I think that she should do it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they sound like.
I bet you won't really hear a difference.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, like, Erin and I were listening to those old songs the other day, and she sings, like, with a country accent.
She can,
like,
bring the country accent back, though, in 2 seconds.
Yeah. But it's just, like, is that, you know, who she is? Now?
No, it's not who she is now.
But is she gonna just, like, turn the key and be like, I'm back to performing as a country sweetheart? Or is she gonna be, like, reimagining these songs? Who knows?
Yeah, I think it'd be cool if she reimagined them. But at the same time, like, she's also been performing those songs for so long that she probably can turn a key.
Yeah.
And be like, oh yeah, this is how I sing this. This is how I sing this. Mm-hmm. You know?
But I don't know. Did you go to this last Taylor Swift tour?
No, did you?
Yeah, I've been to the last two. I've been in 1989 and then whatever this last one was. What was it called? Reputation.
Reputation.
And she does the old songs, but they're, like, worked into medleys that are arranged.
Well, that's
in the
because
pop.
She has so many, you know.
Yeah, but they're, like, arranged in, like, a way more pop EDM way.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I'm excited for it. I love Taylor.
I support it. Yeah, yeah. She writes great songs.
So Susie has her dog, Jack, here. He's so cute. He's wearing a sweater. What does it say? It
says a D-dog.
Oh, my God.
I'm working on, like, a lot of other really cool stuff, but I'm not allowed to talk about it. Or I think if I did talk about it, I would get in trouble.
Well, okay. So what about stuff that you have done that you can talk about? Not necessarily stuff that's not out yet, but, like, I don't know. What are some of your favorite things that you've done?
I mean, honestly, Panic was so much fun.
So what did you do for Panic? What albums did you work on? What songs?
The past two. The past two. And then, like, with Jake, like, worked on all of the songs. Mm-hmm. About. And it would just be, like, you know, I don't even, like, 3 or 6 months out of the year. And it's just, like, a slow, like, oh, like, we're hanging out. Like, oh, like, Jake and Brendan are writing. Like, oh, you know, kind of progressing. And then it's, like, oh, all of a sudden we're at... Dogs. We're at Capitol, like, recording strings and horns, yeah. You know? And it's just... It's such a fun experience.
What is that like, going into Capitol Records recording studio, like where they did like the fucking Beach Boys?
It's insane. Every time I walk in, I'm just like, this is so surreal. Is what I'm doing going to be as cool as the Beach Boys? Probably not, but let's try.
I mean, it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's great. I love working at big fancy studios, and at the same time, I love working in like a dark room that has like all the gear that I love and the people that I love in it working. It doesn't matter where I am.
Do you still listen to music like on your own, like in your car and stuff?
Sometimes. I listen to a lot of podcasts. Yeah. So. You know, I do listen to music, and it's never of current time. Like, I'm like listening to a lot of Pavement.
Really?
Which makes no sense. And every time I say it, people laugh at me.
Mm-hmm. I think I saw Pavement open for Bright Eyes at Radio City Music Hall. No, that's it was sick. Dinosaur Jr.
I was gonna say, yeah, Pavement doesn't seem like a Bright Eyes opener.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, what are you listening to?
I honestly listen to podcasts only, and like the new Taylor Swift record. That's like it.
Lover and Cruel Summer.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with.
Yeah.
Those are amazing songs.
Jack Antonoff.
He is the dream.
He is?
Yeah.
You like him as a producer, engineer, writer?
Yeah, as everything. He's so cool. He's so talented.
Have you worked with him on anything?
Never. Mm. No. Someday. He's really cool, though, and I like that he has this girl, Laura, as his engineer, like his right-hand man, which I think is very awesome.
Why do you like that?
Because there are not a lot of girls and like her role or like my role, and I like to see more of it. And she just seems like a badass, and I look up to her too.
Yeah,
she's cool.
Yeah, I know you've mentioned it to me a couple times, and I mean, I see it all the time too. Like, my business partner is a female, and it's so crazy just sometimes like how differently, you know, sound guys treat her, or like venue managers,
are they dicks,
treat her. Yeah, or, you know, I don't even know if they realize that they're doing it sometimes. Like, they'll be like, okay, let's go settle up, and they'll like look at me, and I'm like, I can talk to her, she's the boss.
That happens to me all the time. I just ignore it now. It happens so often because it's like, okay, I can't really change anything about it other than just, like, being here and being, like, you know, popping and being like, no, I'm the person.
Yeah.
My favorite was at a concert of a band that I worked with, and I was going to go backstage to, like, say hi, and I think I had my mom with me, too. Mm-hmm. She was in town, and I was, like, had the bouncer, and I was like, hey, how do I get to the backstage area? And he looked at me, like, we don't allow groupies.
Because he thought you were, like, just, like, a fangirl.
Uh-huh. And I was like, no, I work with the band. Oh. And he laughed at me and then walked away. And wow. I was like, okay. If I was a guy, that, like, wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Did
you used to get, like, more mad about it? Or, I don't know. because you've been working in this field, you've been in studios with mostly guys for a few years now.
Yeah. And luckily, like, I work with the best guys.
Yeah.
And I love work. Yeah, they're the best. And I don't experience a lot of the things that people talk about and just, like, how messed up of a world it is. And I don't get, maybe, like, first on, like, early on, I would get mad.
Mm-hmm.
Or get, like, really heated. But no. Now it's, like, whatever. You're not going to bring me any happiness by being rude or a misogynist, whatever. Or like assuming things, and it's like people are people. I'm just going to keep working or doing, being who I am to prove you otherwise. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, you've obviously, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people listening to this will probably be like, I want her job. How did she get that job? You know, because you have a really cool job. You work with a lot of the bands that, like, you know, we all grew up listening to, yeah, and, you know, idolizing. And I don't know. I mean, you do a lot of cool shit and you've made some amazing stuff. So I don't know, to like the average listener, if you were talking to like the 15-year-old version of Susie who's in Kansas, you know, learning Fall Out Boy songs on her guitar, like, what would you say to your past self? And like, how would you say, you know, to she should get started? Or I don't know.
To my past self, I would be like, yo, it's all going to be really good.
Or what about good. The person who's, like, yeah, doing that right now, who's actually learning the songs that you're working on and writing and producing?
For me, I wish I wish that I knew that there was this whole world of writing and producing. When I was a kid growing up, even, like, when I was learning Fall Out Boy songs and stuff like that, I only thought that the band existed or that the artist existed and nothing else behind the scenes existed. Mm-hmm. And that's, I grew up in Kansas. I didn't grow up in a musical household or anything like that. So I would have liked to have known more about the world behind the face of the band, of the artist.
Yeah.
And if a 15-year-old asked me what should they do, I would say drop out of school, move to LA, get an internship, or get anyone who you know who will listen to you, or like just be cool and be friends with people, and then like start working in a studio.
Yeah.
Start doing anything that you can.
Scrub toilets.
Scrub toilets. You could like start now.
Yeah.
That's what I always wish that I started earlier.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you regret going to Berkeley?
Yeah, no, in a sense of like, I'm happy about the people that I met there.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I didn't even really meet you there.
Right. Yeah. So, we kind of became friends out here.
Yeah. Same with most of my friends out here that I know from Berkeley. So yeah, I don't know. I guess I do regret it. I didn't learn a lot, like especially production, like engineering, like wise. I didn't really learn anything.
Yeah.
That's where I experienced like most of the sexism, like,
yeah,
even more so than out here.
Really?
Was in college, was in that major. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're allowed. I might. I don't know.
You could talk like about a weird it. Thing. I mean, I'm sure that you saw, like, last year, there was, like, multiple accusations at Berkeley.
Yeah, I did see that. I did. And I don't know. It's just like,
it just wasn't surprising to you.
It wasn't surprising at all. And I was only there for 2 years and I did every semester straight through. Cause I was like, you know, I thought you graduate high school, you go to college. I'm going to music college. That's the only thing that you can do,
mm-hmm,
to be successful. And it's like, no, you can just go start, especially with music, go start.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to like Harvard or something like really cool. Like if you can go to Harvard, like, fuck yeah, go to Harvard.
Sure.
And then come out to LA.
You're probably smart enough to know you shouldn't work in the music industry.
That's funny.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I grew up in Utah. I always felt like if I moved out here right away at 18, I probably would have gotten my ass fucking beat, you know?
You think so?
Yeah, because I didn't know anything. Not necessarily like what I learned in school, but I think I learned sort of like the dynamic of the industry, at least, or like, I don't know. I still don't know. I don't regret going to Berkeley. I had a good time. But at the same time, I feel like so much of my growth professionally came, you know, as soon as I got out here.
100%.
But I don't know if 18-year-old me could have
handled it. I think you could have. How did you get your first job in LA?
My first, like, internship I got in LA through somebody that I met at Berkeley, actually. Because I did an internship in Boston at Indie Ambassador. And this other girl who was interning there, she went to Northeastern. And she was the one who, like, knew somebody who was working at Windish Agency, which is now Paradigm.
Oh, my God. I forgot you worked at Windish.
Yeah. And she was like, hey, like, my friend's an assistant at Windish. Let me see if I can push your resume through. And so she did. And then I got my first internship there.
Are you so happy that you're not an agent?
No. I think being an agent would be tight still.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you get to make a bunch of money. But I do think it's, like, now I look at it, and Emo Night is represented by Paradigm, which is tight. Yeah. So I'm like,
that's so tight.
Kind of full circle. I interned at this agency, and now I'm a
client.
They're
repping you? Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Do you have any, like, full circle stuff like that? Anything where you, like, look back and you're like, wow, like, I used to do this and now I'm doing that?
I mean, yeah, all the time. It's like literally almost every artist or band that I work with, I'm like, oh wait, I was playing like your song at my shows when I was 12 or 14 at the coffee shops, and now like we're working together or like working on like a TV show that like, there's this one, I can't say it yet, but it's like, oh my God, like I watched this TV show when I would grow up, and now it's like, it's cool. It's always cool. It's every day. It makes you feel very, what's the word? Not numb, but it's just like so usual.
Yeah.
It's like, I really take it for granted how lucky like the both of us are to get to do what we do and like love it and be happy because of it.
Did you ever get like starstruck at the beginning when you would work with people or meet people?
No. I remember my first session ever was Martin Johnson. That was the artist, and that was the first time I was like, whoa, that is so cool. Martin Johnson from Boys Like Girls.
Yeah, but you had to just like play it cool.
Yeah, I don't think I played it cool. There's only one person, and it's so funny. I don't know why. I just think he's like a genius songwriter and I look up to him so much. And I saw him last week.
Who?
His name is Adam Schlesinger and he's from Fountains of Wayne.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, doesn't he write like every pop song ever?
Yeah, he does. And like, yeah, he's so talented. And every time I see him, I'm just like, you know, can't keep my cool around him. That's funny. You know, I feel like you're also like around it so often.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we have artists come guest DJ and stuff,
have you ever freaked out?
The only time I've ever freaked out was at our 1 year anniversary when Chris Carrabba came. And I was like, I just couldn't believe that. That was wild for me. And I still, even last year, he played our festival like a year ago to today or 2 days from today. And I was still really nervous, and I get nervous like every time I text him or anything, but at the same time, like, yeah, when I see his name like in my phone, if I'm talking to him, I'm like, oh my God, I'm talking to Chris right now. because he's the only person that I still like fan out about.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else? Is there anyone who, like, if you met them, you would freak out or, like, be weird around?
No, not really. I get a little weird around Skrillex, Sonny Moore.
He seems so sweet.
He's so sweet and so nice and, you know, really, really, really talented.
Okay.
And I think he has this, like, presence about him. He's so small too, like in real life he's like Morgan size, but he has this like huge presence, and yeah, I don't know, it just it's definitely a little intimidating. I don't know if intimidating is the right word. I just get a little nervous.
No, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense,
because I just like don't want to fuck it up too. I also feel like, you know, we've been so privileged with him and with From First to Last, like the only two shows they've done over the past like 12 years
right Imone.
Have been at Imone.
That's cool.
And he just like likes us for some reason, and I just like get so nervous. I don't want to mess it up.
That's so funny. Have you ever messed anything up? Have you ever been like, oh, I shouldn't have done that?
I don't know, probably. I probably, what about you? What do you do when you make a mistake?
When I make a mistake, I will just be like, ha ha, ha. I don't know. It's not ever good. It's not ever good.
Yeah. You're never, oh, I forgot to hit record on that one.
I usually try to make a joke out of it.
Yeah. You never just like, that was great. Let's do it one more time.
Oh, I do that too. Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
I thought I wasn't recording this podcast for a minute, but
is that why you looked at it?
Yeah, I had this like just pain in my chest for a sec.
Have you told like everyone listening about, does everyone know about you?
What about me?
Like where you came from and like how you, like your whole story?
I don't know. I mean,
I feel maybe. Like you should share it.
I don't have a whole story.
Yeah, you do.
I'm having an existential crisis because today's my 30th birthday.
30 years old. 30.
Cried in the shower this morning.
Did you cry?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, man. 30 just seems so old to me. And I don't know. I liked being 20. I liked my 20s.
Is there anything that you want to do as a 30-year-old now?
Sure. I mean, I just look at my life sometimes and I'm like, is this where I thought I'd be when I'm 30? But I don't know. It's really not. When you're like 15 and you're like, oh, by the time I'm 30, I'm going to like have all my shit together. Last night I started Googling like turning 30. I just Googled turning 30 and like the top result on Google is like, can you turn your life around at age 30?
What was the answer?
It was like, yes, you absolutely can.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't need to like turn it around. It's just interesting.
That's scary. That is crazy that you're 30.
How old are you?
27.
You got some time.
I have
time.
You got
3 years to get your life together.
Before I have to turn it around?
Yeah. What do you want to do over the next 3 years before you turn 30? Do you have any goals?
So many things. Yeah. Over the 3 years, yeah, I'd want to produce like 4 albums that I love and that I'm really proud of. I'd want to get, yeah, I have like a whole list.
Let's hear some.
No, and then, I mean, dream 30 is like buy a house, have a cool car, like finally like live alone on my own, have a dope studio that I like going to that I'm proud of. And then I would say, yeah, like 4 albums of different artists that I like am very proud of and that I love. I feel like now like I'm finally like breaking into like doing what I want to do and, you know, learning more and being better. Like that's my whole thing. It's just like I always want to be better. I always want to keep learning. And the day that I stop doing that is probably the day I turn 30. I'm just kidding. The day I don't know. A lot of things.
Is there anything or anyone that you haven't worked with yet that you want to work with?
I mean, Jack Antonoff, would you want to work with him?
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think he's so cool. I love the music that he makes. He's so musical and just like this kind of like particular way that shows up in Bleacher and that shows up in his production with Lord or Lana, like all that kind of stuff. I admire him. Blink-182 is always going to be on my bucket list. Who else? Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people.
Yeah, there's a lot of people making a lot of music.
There's so much music.
Too much. We should just stop.
I saw your tweet saying no.
Enough's enough.
It's crazy, though, like how many songs there are, and then it's like one movie has been released, and like we've released like 300 songs. And
have you heard any of this like new EDM country?
Yeah, I don't love it.
Like, I don't know. I was just on Spotify on like the top country playlist.
That's the thing now.
Marshmallow.
Yeah.
A country song.
Yeah.
There's like a dubstep drop and then like pedal steel on top of the dubstep drop. And that's when I was literally like, all right, guys.
You know what? They're trying to be innovative. I support it. I know that like Allo Black had that big song that was kind of country.
Everything's and then Lil getting Nas so X. Blurred now. Yeah. Lil Nas X, that was like the biggest song ever. And it broke a lot of boundaries for sure.
And now everyone's all into it. I like looked at Diplo's Twitter or Instagram the other day, and he was like posting cowboy hats.
Yeah,
like,
he played Stagecoach. What the heck?
I remember that. And like, I even saw like a recent photo, and I was like, oh, he's like still going for country. Like, that's crazy.
Cowboys are in.
Are they?
I don't know.
I'm down.
Down to cowboy. You know Have you ever done any country music?
No.
Did you do any time in Nashville?
No.
Never.
I would. I love country songs. I love how country songs are written. Oh my God. I love the story base. Yeah. Like, it's so cool.
Yeah. I love country music. Yeah, just like the songwriting in country music's fucking incredible.
I support that. I like how like that is now a thing. Yeah. And because it's so often that I see when people write songs now or like in LA, like the writing scene is like, pull up a track or like start the track, like find the melody. What's the melody? Melody, melody, melody. Like then you cram lyrics into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exhausting. And like recently I've been working with this one band and she comes in and she's like, I want to write about this. This is what I want to say today. And I'm like, fuck yeah. Tell me what you want to say.
Yep.
That's why you're an artist. That's why you're a band, because you have something important to say. What I like.
Yeah, that can definitely get lost in pop music.
For sure. So maybe country EDM could bring that back. Like
maybe
the guy will go to his pickup truck, or like heartbreak will ensue, and then the drop will happen.
Oh man. Yeah, I mean, so what do you do to stay creative and, you know, stay passionate about what you're doing?
Yeah, that's hard sometimes because it's very easy to lose that. I try not to overwork myself. I try to keep these hours.
How do you do that? What are you like, what are some of the boundaries that you draw?
Boundaries I draw that are not cement boundaries is that I usually work from like 11 to 7. Monday through Friday. I keep the weekends open. I try to keep nights open so that I can go out and live, so that I can go out and be with friends or people or, you know, experience things, go to concerts, go to movies, go on like trips. Like that's a huge part of like a social life that I've lost before.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't like to, because that gives you things to write about and that gives you feelings and emotions and like lets you fall in love or, you know, all these things that are human emotions that we want to hear about in music. And then you don't die because you're not working 14, 15 hours a day, 7 days a week. And yeah, I mean, that's my main boundary. And
when did you realize that? When did you start setting those sort of boundaries for yourself?
When I saw that the people that I look up to and wanted to be like kept those hours.
Mm.
Like Jake and Butch.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. And not everyone does. You know, there's a lot of people that like that will work all throughout the night, but more often than not, I experience that. Now, to be fair, like, if Kanye West called me at midnight and was like, come to the studio now, I'd be like, cool.
Yeah.
On my way. On my way. Left 3 minutes ago. But yeah, that's the main thing. It's just like allotting time to like, to do it, mm-hmm. to be creative or whatever. And just like forcing yourself to like sit down and write, to sit down and work, to be like, today I have to get this done and this done and this.
I mean, that's got to be hard because, like, you know, you are basically working. You're working for yourself.
I'm working for myself.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're one of the first people that I, like, watched manage their own business that was themselves. Yeah, like, it is a business. You're, like, I remember you were, like, you used to, like, scan receipts and everything. And so you make to-do lists. You keep normal business hours. You got to be disciplined about it, right? And
I try to be. Yeah. I usually, like, always, like, allow for, like, my mornings to be open.
Yeah.
So I can, like, go work out, go out in Los Feliz or Silver, like, whatever, and get coffee, mm-hmm. catch up with a friend. I don't know. I'm usually the most strict. And then at night, if I'm working, like, I'll finish whatever I'm doing. But within reason.
Yeah. But sometimes it's just like, gotta get this done.
If there's a huge deadline, then it's gotta get this done. Like, my work is always gonna, I mean, it's kind of sad, but like, my work is always going to come before my other parts of my life.
Yeah, it's just sort of like how it is.
Yeah.
It's gotta be like that.
Is that how it is for you?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of just like, I don't know. It's kind of, it sucks sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, you know, as a company, we've all gotten a lot better about setting boundaries too. You know, we have two businesses here. We have Emo Night and we have Ride or Cry.
Yeah.
We are all on Slack all the time.
Okay. I've never been on Slack. That's what I want to do by the time I'm 30. I just want to be in a Slack group.
It's not that exciting.
Can you please invite me?
Yeah, we could have a Slack if you want. I don't know what we would talk about, but yeah, we had to like actually go on the back end of Slack though and like set the parameters so that it like turns off everybody's notifications at the company after 7 p.m.
Really?
Yeah. 7 p.m. to like 7 a.m.
They're off.
The app notifications are off. People can That's still great. Say stuff. You can still like tag people and then it will like push a notification if it's like urgent, but we had to do that because it was like all hours.
Wow.
A lot of jokes going in there. See, too. The
jokes are great.
I know, and some of our best ideas come from jokes. It sucks, but I think like that stuff's important too. Like, I don't know, we were fucking joking around about the California Raisins. Do you know those?
Like the mascots for the Raisin Company?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do know those.
Yeah. So we were like looking at all these vintage shirts, watching their old videos, and then we had the idea to turn our logo into a mascot. And we got a mascot made. And so like it's like bullshit like that turns into sometimes like the best ideas.
I love that. Yeah. That's what my whole like that's what I love to live by is everything is comedy. Like, life is a joke. It's all funny. I love to laugh.
Yeah.
I love having everything I do or, like, when I can, like, work on things being that are, like, funny, that I can laugh at, that makes you smile. Totally. That's what music, especially, like, I like to do. Like, even, like, when we did, like, Africa, Weezer. Yeah. Like, first we put out Rosanna because the girl wanted Africa. And we were like, nope, here's another Toto song. And then, like, it was just like, oh, Africa came out. And I was like, it brings
you have to do stuff that, like, makes you laugh or makes you smile.
Yeah.
Like, that. I think that's the most important thing. And also, the work just comes out, like, way better if you're having fun with it.
If you're having... It's so important that you have fun.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it can really get lost sometimes, but, like... I don't know, like fucking putting our mascot on a t-shirt holding like a wiener dog or like we, you know, last year we did this festival called Emo Night Day.
Okay.
First of all, we named it Emo Night Day because we thought that was the stupidest name for a festival. Because, like, most people would just be like, Emo Day. And we're like, no.
Emo Night Day.
And it was so stressful. I'll tell you that. It took us, like, 6 months of planning, at least. We started planning it for, like, a year, actually. And then, like, we took 6 months off of our monthly LA events and just focused on the festival. And it was like the hardest 6 months ever. There's just so much that goes into a festival for like very little reward. Uh-huh. And so many different artists and their egos and their demands and their tour managers and like politics and like so many different things that you have to juggle. And the saving grace through the whole thing was like Morgan and myself like wrote this skit for a vampire. And the vampire, his name is Nosferatu. He came out and did he performed a song with.
Did he sing?
Yeah. We also found this girl who was his love interest, like a female version. So we directed and wrote like two short video pieces where Nosferatu was our intern. And then he was working here and we hired another girl and it was basically like a female version of him and he fell in love immediately. And then the conclusion, which was part three, was them performing Total Eclipse of the Heart at Emo Night Day. And they got on stage together and bat dancers came out. We spent like way too much money. But like we hired like a professional dance crew.
That dressed up as bats.
Dressed up as bats. It was this whole choreographed thing. And then like at the climax of the song, the bats huddled around Nosferatu and his lover. And they flapped their wings, and then they pulled back, and Nosferatu and Nosferata held up a vampire baby. And we had a real baby dressed up as a vampire.
Where did you find a baby?
It was our accountant's baby. And it was the only thing that, like, saved the whole fucking festival for us, because we just... At that point, we were fed up with all of the artists and all of the budgeting and everything else. And we were just like kind of like it was losing the joy. And having that 1 5-minute performance with a vampire baby like made it all worth it.
I love that. That is what it's all about.
Yeah, 100%.
That's the best.
Yeah.
I want to see a video of
I'll send you the video.
Okay.
It's on our YouTube if you guys want to look it up. Well, Suze, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Chatting for 55 minutes.
Jesus.
Thank you. I'm glad that we're friends again.
Happy 30th birthday.
Thank you. Let's drink some margaritas tonight.
Sweet.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Hi, I'm Emma.
And I'm Joe.
And we're the professional book nerds. Two Mondays a month, we interview authors and talk about their upcoming books, what drives them, and their go-to order at the cafe.
On Thursdays, we share recommendations and dive into topics readers face, like, how do I actually read the books on my to-be-read list?
You can find the Professional Book Nerds podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to learn more about us? Our website is professionalbooknerds.com, and you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at ProBookNerds.
We hope you'll come and listen, and as always,
happy reading!